Capital Market Insights from ICMA.
Hello, everybody. My name is Katie Kelly, and I am a senior director at ICMA, where one of my responsibilities is to provide services to the Corporate Issuer Forum. One of our members of the Corporate Issuer Forum is Novartis, and I'm really pleased to have with me today Daniel Weiss, who is the Deputy Group Treasurer at Novartis. So thank you, Daniel, for taking part in this podcast. The reason Daniel is here is because Novartis have recently issued a sustainability-linked bond, which is quite an innovative and new product which ICMA supports. So we thought it would be really useful to have Daniel talk us through some of the motivations and the features of his sustainability-linked bond. So thank you, Daniel. To get started, could you let us know what the motivation was from Novartis, or the primary goal for issuing a sustainability-linked bond? I mean, they're quite new products, and you were one of the first off the mark to issue a sustainability-linked bond. So why now, and how does it fit in with your strategy?
Thank you very much. Hi, Katie, and thanks for having me. It's a great opportunity to really go through some of these elements. Very exciting, obviously. As to your question, as a global leader in the healthcare industry with a core strategy of building trust with society, Novartis is committed to bringing value through our innovative therapies and ensure they reach as many people as possible. Our first ever sustainability-linked bond has allowed us to reinforce such strategic commitment by directly linking the coupon of the bond to the 2025 patient access targets, which we announced in early September at our ESG Investor Day. These targets are A, an increase by 200% in the number of patients reached with our strategic innovative therapies, and B, an increase by 50% in the number of patients reached with our flagship programs, both by the year 2025. So this sustainability-linked bond has also allowed us to introduce ESG considerations into our overall financing approach, and with that, increasing the level of strategic integration of ESG into all aspects of our business. As to your question on timing, Novartis has been evolving its approach to ESG over the last 20 years. In 2018, we committed to systematically integrate access strategies into how we research, develop, and deliver our new medicines globally, and established the Novartis Access Principles. Within that scope, we also committed to developing specific KPIs to measure our success. The 2025 patient access targets and this SLB are both integral parts of that journey. Further, the fact that the ICMA has published its framework on the KPI-linked bonds back in June of this year supported the timing of this transaction.
Well, that's very good to know. Thank you. So clearly, I mean, the KPIs that you've chosen, the 2025 patient access targets, they need to be achievable. But how did you go about ensuring that they are ambitious enough to be of interest to investors and also to address the ESG challenges that you as a company have in a meaningful way? I mean, did you engage with investors when you were making the determinations about the KPIs to use, or was it purely company-led?
Very good question. For us, it was clear from the beginning that we wanted to choose KPIs and targets that were really meaningful for our company, and also in areas where we could have a differentiating and material impact. That's why we decided to select KPIs in this area and not in the environmental area that other companies have focused on.
Yeah.
In particular, we decided to focus on two of the main pillars of our own ESG strategy, which are expanding access to affordable healthcare and targeting key global health challenges. Our own materiality analysis had identified those as the areas in which we could have the highest social impact. Investors were not directly involved in the determination of the KPIs, and as mentioned, they resulted from our own analysis on where or in which areas we could have that highest impact. We estimate that the achievement of these patient access targets would result in a potential reach of over 24 million patients across the various therapeutic areas by 2025. This will represent a material increase in patient reach, as confirmed by our two second-party opinion providers, Sustainalytics and the Access to Medicine Foundation, both, as you know, independent experts of recognised standing.
You've hit upon one of the beauties of sustainability-linked bonds there, which is that they can be targeted and very much bespoke to the issuer. Your particular bond is the first to have social KPIs such as these, and the first to have two KPIs, which is quite ambitious and differentiates it from other SLBs. So what led you to do it like this?
As mentioned earlier, two of the main pillars of our ESG strategy on building trust with society of expanding access to affordable healthcare and targeting key global health challenges. These two pillars are, in our opinion, the areas of the highest unmet medical need for society and where we can have the most impact. For us, it was important that we aim at targeting both areas and that both are looked at with an equal level of priority. Therefore, the requirement of achieving both targets together. As the first healthcare issuer for this type of bonds, we also wanted to lead and set high standards for ourselves and for the industry, as this is also part of our strategy to build trust with society.
As your first sustainable issuance, did you have any unexpected reactions either internally or externally? I mean, did you find that investors were particularly receptive to the innovation and the targets?
Probably the most unexpected reaction was the internal support we immediately obtained from the entire Novartis organization from the moment we floated the idea of issuing such a bond. We expected some sort of resistance considering the innovative character of the instrument and related target, but all internal stakeholders were extremely supportive. From an external perspective, as hoped, Novartis received strong demand for the bond from institutional investors, including a lot of ESG-focused investors, confirming their confidence in Novartis and our ambitious 2025 patient access targets. Maybe another interesting debate that was generated both internally and externally was if it was the right approach that the potential penalty for missing the targets, that means the coupon step-up, would be received by the bond investors rather than other more social agents, such as NGOs, for example. Accepting that there can be multiple valid points of view, ours was that for such an emerging and innovative instrument to thrive, we need a common framework that will allow investors to compare and easily understand each issuance. We therefore decided to follow the logic of the first SLB issued by an L in 2019. That said, we were very satisfied with the positive feedback received from investors, and I could definitely see this bond format growing into the future. From my point of view, I think it would be beneficial for this structure to feature a certain level of standardization so that investors could get more accustomed to it. Yeah. Further, the level of KPIs will be key to show how much emphasis an issuer puts into the respective area.
Well, actually, it's interesting because obviously you can take investor feedback and allow this product to innovate in accordance with the investor's thoughts. So that's interesting feedback that you got. One of the points that you just raised about the fact that the internal reception was good, I mean, I was going to ask, you know, how easy or difficult was it to get Novartis as a whole company onboarded behind the SLB? Were there any particular challenges or was it really quite plain sailing?
Good and interesting question. As mentioned before, the executive committee of Novartis, as well as the board of directors, were always very supportive of the project. They always saw immediately how this issuance was fitting into our overall ESG strategy and how our commitments could really make a difference for patients. The coordination with the legal, PR and IR teams was also key for the success of the project due to its innovative character and its potential external impact. So from the beginning, those teams were fully involved and contributed substantially to it. Probably the most complex thing was to get an alignment from the entire organization on the exact definition of the KPIs and the targets, as they involve multiple countries and divisions, and they are indeed ambitious targets. However, in the end, we were successful in finding that alignment across the organization.
That's really good to know. And just with respect to the onboarding of the whole company, and you talked about the challenges with the sort of the global aspect, I think that probably could be very challenging for some companies who don't necessarily have a particular target or KPI or strategy in mind. So it's interesting to hear that the whole company was behind Novartis. And hopefully that will be the case now with all the different targets, globalization of targets as well, and that we're going to see quite a lot more of these SLBs as well as other sustainable financing tools being used. When it comes to reporting, and again, looking at this on a global basis, you presumably haven't started the reporting yet because the bond was issued quite recently, but do you think that it could be off-putting? The reporting and transparency measures might require significantly more resource and attention on a global basis?
Well, I don't think too much, because Novartis was already used to disclose patient reach numbers in its annual Novartis in Society report, which was in the past already reviewed by our auditor. So we would not expect a significant level of additional resources dedicated to the specific reporting around the SLB-related KPI numbers.
So it sounds like you had a very positive experience with your sustainability-linked bond. And presumably, you know, as you approach your target dates and your potential penalty of a coupon step up, you might start to think about other similar type transactions, or maybe even sooner than that. But from the experience that you've had with the initial SLB, do you think there are any efficiencies that could be made either in the structure or the process that might make it easier? We've already talked a little bit about potential innovations based on investor feedback, but is there anything else that might make the process easier for next time?
Well, this was the first SLB for us, and obviously one of the first across all industries. And therefore, there was little experience or knowledge on how to structure it or how investors would react to it. So therefore, I think there would be efficiencies in the process that would make it easier if we were to decide to issue another SLB. On the one hand, from a documentation perspective, it took a significant amount of coordination effort from our internal and external legal counsels to agree on the language around the KPIs, the targets, or the coupon step up. And I think this would definitely be much easier with a future SLB issuance. From a communications perspective, we feel that we increased the level of awareness of investors about this instrument, giving them confidence and also increasing their interest in it. They realize that an SLB can also feature social KPIs and not only environmental KPIs.
When it comes to the investors, actually, a good point about the awareness and the understanding. Did you find that you had to do a lot more IR exercises than you would have done on a normal bond?
Well, I think if you compare the approach we usually take going to the market with our strong rating and recognition in the market, we usually don't do investor education or investor calls beforehand. Okay. So this was a little bit of a specific situation around this bond here, as we felt it would make sense to really have the engagement with investors and give them the time to digest the specifics around this bond issue. And I think this really paid off.
And did it help with diversification of the investor base?
Sure. I mean, we have seen new names, let's put it that way, in the order book as investors. Generally, I think if you look at the order book as it showed on that day when we issued, we did have obviously the quote unquote normal investors, but then we also saw new names that specifically were attracted obviously by the feature and the structure of the bond.
Well, that's good. That's a very positive outcome. So you mentioned at the start, with respect to the timing, et cetera, that it kind of dovetailed nicely with the release of the ICMA sustainability-linked bond principles. So you find those helpful? Do you think that issuers should be looking at the SLB principles? Do you think that issuers should be looking more closely at the sustainability-linked bond principles when structuring SLBs and getting them to market?
Yeah, I would say so, absolutely. I think the publication in June of these principles provided us with the perfect building block or framework for which we could structure and the project that we already had been working on for quite some time. So the principles do make a lot of sense and did not really surprise us, but rather confirmed that the direction we were working on until then was the right one. In addition, they were really helpful to communicate with project stakeholders, both internal and external, from our top management to potential investors. as they provided a logical framework from which we could easily explain all the specifics of the SLB.
Good. Well, that's very gratifying to hear. Thank you, Daniel. Well, look, I think that answers all the questions that I had on your bond. Very interesting transaction and very interesting to get your feedback on it. Thank you.
Thank you very much for offering the opportunity to have that discussion. I think it's also for us, it was an interesting project. It took quite some time and effort to get where we ultimately landed, but it was really worth it. If you look at it, we would qualify this as a success, not so much from an economic point of view, but more importantly, we were able to send a clear and strong message around our commitment to society. And I think that is really what is a key element of that whole SLB framework.
Excellent. Well, Daniel, it just remains for me to thank you very much for your time today and thank you for your candor on all the issues we've discussed. And we look forward to plenty more SLB issuances in the wake of yours. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you for listening. For more ICMA podcasts and further information on capital markets, please visit our website, icmagroup.org.